It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. Captain Mike.
A little chilly morning.
Yeah, it's finally. We quit all our complaining about not getting any cold weather. Got it.
No, don't complain no more.
Yeah, we got that. This will be the test, of course. I'll be looking at next week. If we're ever going to get a duck down here, this should get them down here.
It should. I mean, just up at my camp, it's going to be like 12. I mean, it was like 12 or 14 degrees.
Right. And good pipe
never,
busting
it
weather.
It never got above freezing for like 3 days.
So this is good. This is I don't get to hunt when this happens because I end up working on busted pipes.
Yeah.
But that it is it's good. So yeah, a big patch of cold weather in. We'll see what this does. I'm already seeing and told you. I mean, Mike knows our place. Our deer kind of act like they do in the Black Belt. We're in Western Mobile County, but you could probably take about 10 steps between scrapes right now on some of my roads. I mean, they're busy. I watched last weekend young knucklehead bucks, pushing does a little bit. So that's already started.
They're ready. They're just waiting on that doe.
Ain't that the truth?
And when that first one comes in, they all go crazy.
That's right. So that's already kind of picking up. So we'll talk more about that. But we're going to talk a lot of fishing on today's show because it's good. Captain Kurt Tillman in studio. Good to see you.
Yep. Thank you.
A lot to talk about. Actually, we can talk deer hunting with him for a second, too. Nice buck from Tennessee.
Yep. It was a good one. We had a good time out there and done a lot of laughing and ate good and seen several deer. And
Got a big, dang fine 10-point.
Yeah.
So what about that? That you get you got to meet in what you do. You got to meet people from, and I don't know if that's a friend from before, but in what you do as a charter captain, you got to meet people from everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I know. This year I took advantage of it. People ask me all the time, hey, man, you want to come out and go hunting or something like that? And I've been putting them off. And it's been a real good year for me as far as the hunting thing. I didn't always kill one where I've went so far, but I've seen a lot of really nice deer. And some of these people, they just live in areas. The deer is way bigger than the stuff that we shoot, and if you want to basically kill some monster deer, you probably need to be out in the Midwest or somewhere other than right here. not that we don't have good deer, but you go out there and you come back home and you see some deer, you're like, oh man, I don't know. But it helps you to grade up your own personal stuff when you look at some other deer when you get back home.
I'm going to get kicked out of the studio. I'm going to get kicked out of the studio. Hanging out with the likes of you and Mike. I mean, y'all go, I'm stuck back here at home, and y'all are going to the land of big bucks everywhere. And, one day I'll be a grown up and be able to go.
It does make it where you just get disappointed when you come back here and hunt because I know what we have to kill, and I've been one time. I actually went one afternoon. Here it is. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
I've been one time.
Oh, we don't want to start the show like this because this has been my conversation. I've been on four hunts, not days.
Yeah.
Four hunts. Yeah. Now, that's all fixing to change right now, but I've been on four hunts.
That's terrible.
I went to Pennsylvania. I did go. But other than that, I've been on four hunts.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen bigger bucks in Pennsylvania than you'd see here.
Yeah. The last day I saw, a couple that were. But, I mean, yeah. This year wasn't as good as last year. Last year was a lot better.
Well, Kurt was telling me about going to Missouri, and he had a terrible trip in Missouri. He said he didn't hardly see anything. Of course, you talked about that. And then he went to Illinois, I think, the next week, right?
Well, actually, I went to Illinois first, and Illinois' hunt was phenomenal. And one of the guys that fishes with me, Lester, if you ever been on the boat, he said it, I mean, hands down, I mean, we seen 25 bucks a piece.
Mm.
The deer's not
a
afraid.
A day.
And we'd at least see two deer over 150 inches. And it's bow hunting only. So, I mean, these deer just get – you're looking at 150-inch deer at 100 yards and just thinking, man, if you just come on over here.
I
passed on some 140s. But if you're looking at 150-plus-inch deer and – you just, I mean, it just gives you a whole different perspective. And I've been, you know, Texas and a bunch of places hunting where you'll see that many deer, but they're just not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of these trips that, you know, I take these people fishing. I said, well, yeah, man, we'll just work out a deal, and I'll come out there and go hunting with y'all, and y'all come see me, and I'll take you fishing. So sometimes you they had just a phenomenal place to stay at, and it was a really good trip. We only left from right there at the property two times the whole time we were there, because it was just like we didn't even want to leave. We'd just be talking, and he was hunting on one side of this property, and I was hunting on the other side, and we both could kind of see like half of what the other one could see.
Mm-hmm.
And these deer are just not scared. So we're talking on the phone to each other about every 2 or 3 minutes, either we're calling each other or talking. And the deer, the weather was great. The deer pretty much moved all day, and it was a good hunt.
You know, and that's what we talked about it, I think, last week or week before last when we was on the show, about my grandson. Never killed a deer with a bow in his life, you know, just started bow hunting this year. And he goes out there and he sees all these 150, 60, 70, 80s. He's even seen a couple 200s out there, I think was 200s. And so when a 140 comes by his stand that you would normally never killed a buck before in your life, just jump up and down to shoot, he passed him, you know.
Yeah.
And he asked me about it later. He said, shouldn't I have shot that pawpaw? I said, well, son, you just shoot anything you want. I don't care what you've never shot one before. He said, but I've seen all these great big ones. I said, well, then you maybe need to wait. But just like what you said, I mean.
It's why he doesn't take me. Right. Does that 140 come by? Whap.
Right.
Well, you probably wouldn't, Sean. If you rode around with me for about 1 or 2 days out there,
I told you I bird hunted enough.
You probably
out
wouldn't
there.
Shoot one.
I bird hunted enough out there to know what's out there.
Yeah,
I've seen these giants. And a 140 comes by. But the thing is, I'm a bloodthirsty killer, Mike.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, you only get one deer out there. Well, so, I mean, that's the thing.
That'd be plenty.
You
140
go out there
inches
and
of bone,
you spend all this time and effort and money to go.
Right.
You know, I just soon come back with nothing as I had a 140. Me personally, because I've had, you know, I've killed a lot of nice deer in my life.
Have.
So, but anyway, see, every person different. So, and like I said, Dylan never killed one before. So I would have been tickled to death for him to shoot that. I think he came by him a couple times and never shot him.
Yeah, Kurt, Mike and I talk about this on the show. And I think about the states you mentioned there, Missouri being an exception, but you know, Kansas or Illinois, those states that have the potential to have big bucks but then do not have, because you're talking about bow hunting, don't have gun season during the rut. I mean, if you're looking at a map trying to figure out where to hunt, that's like, see, like if I look through the list of places that people kill some big bucks, no guns during the rut.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems to equal out. Like you, mm-hmm. I mean, if you had a gun,
it would have been game over
first day.
The first day, I mean, because I just didn't feel comfortable. I had a 12 point at like 75 yards, but it was the first day, and I was just like, man, I didn't want to take
shot.
That shot.
It's a long shot.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when he's out there, there was like 10 other bucks I'm looking at. Mm. So I was just like, man.
One should get close, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. All it takes.
It's a lot to, yeah. So we're in the middle of deer season, but, you know, he likes a deer hunt more than the rest of us, but we don't have Captain Kurt in to just talk hunting. We're going to talk fishing on today's show, obviously. I do want to start off with this, right? So I saw this story, came out last week, AL.com. William Thornton had it in. Thought this was interesting. So the U.S. Supreme Court, SCOTUS, y'all, U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to take up the case of an Alabama man whose 2020 conviction in federal court on stealing trade secrets over the internet was later vacated. Now, I'm going to read y'all this story. Now, understand, I could, this guy doesn't know what he's, like, the guy who wrote the story probably has not been on a boat before, so some of the terms he uses, we don't have to pick on all of them, but,
yeah.
Okay. Lawyers for Timothy J. Smith of Mobile have already successfully argued that his conviction was improper since he was tried in a U.S. district court in Florida's Northern District. Okay, it goes on to say, the case illustrates one element of the criminal justice in the internet age, as jurisdiction of where crimes are committed is often subject to interpretation. Now, y'all are going to say, why is Sean talking about this on the Outdoor Show? Federal court sentenced Smith to 18 months in imprisonment back in 2020 following his conviction on charges of theft of trade secrets and interstate extortionate communications. Smith, a software engineer in Mobile, was accused of obtaining information valued in the six-figure range regarding the sonar coordinates of artificial fishing reefs reefs from strike lines of Pensacola-based company in 2018. Company sold the information to Fishers. Fishers is the term.
Yeah.
Fishers. Smith is described as spending between 1,200 and 1,500 hours a year fishing and posted the information on social media. Government prosecutors said Smith then tried to extort the two owners of Strikeline by offering to take down the information in exchange for more valuable deepwater grouper coordinates. At his sentencing 2 years ago, U.S. District Judge Casey Rogers said she thought Smith's acts were based on spite and arrogance. Smith later successfully challenged the conviction, arguing that he had been tried in the wrong venue as he lives in Alabama. He lives in Mobile. Theft of trade secrets verdict was vacated in January by the 11th Circuit. Prosecutors in Alabama were reportedly set to retry the case. Lawyers for Smith arguing that since the conviction was vacated, any further prosecution would have run afoul of the Constitution's protection against double jeopardy.
Right.
Like we've always heard. So they can't. So that's on the double jeopardy charge. So it brings up this question, though. It's interesting. We've talked about it a little bit over time about, reefs and having, Captain Kurt in here is, important. You put out, and we also, if you heard the Midday Mobile last week, we talked about what's coming for 2023 Snapper, getting our quota cut in half. You know, we've been in the situation where people were starting to dump reefs again.
Yep.
Be able to fish. We went through those
excited years about fishing right. again. Yeah.
But then as technology changes, these companies like Strikeline get out there and get people's reefs and then offer those up for sale. Whose are they? Can you claim them if somebody else finds them? We'll talk about this when we get back, and then we're going to talk about some wintertime fishing that Captain Kurt is a master of. We're going to get some tips and some stories when we return on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, Captain Kurt from Captain Kurt Charters, our guest as well. And Merry Christmas to y'all. We talked about this during the news break as well. I'll throw this out, and y'all can hit us up on the Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook, or send me an email, or hit the text line, or whatever. This question about this case, I know the story over at AL.com from William Thornton, other than just amusing me that called us all fishers. I guess fishers or fishermen. Yeah. You can't say fishermen anymore. Trans fisher or whatever it is. My question is beyond. This is really a specific case and going to Supreme Court about double jeopardy, which is a thing we all learned in school. Like you can't be charged with the same crime. One of the great things in the Constitution. But my secondary question is, and I think the bigger question, so the reefs are out there. We all put out the reefs or whatever. And Strikeline goes and uses that sonar equipment to find these reefs.
Right.
Okay. They found the reefs. They got the number just the same way. Listen, Lord knows, I've been drifting off one spot and you and I have done that a gajillion times. Something marks up. Do I hit MOB? Sure, I do. Find a new spot. I don't own that spot. Right? I didn't put the spot down. Same thing I would argue for Strikeline. So if they're saying that their argument was that Smith stole the spots from and Captain Kurt explained some how it happened. It wasn't so. It was just they didn't know what they were putting online and how obvious it was where the spots were. But can you claim that you had something stolen from you if you never owned it?
That's a good question.
And it probably won't come up because this case is going to be shut down on double jeopardy. But I think it brings up a bigger question, doesn't it, y'all? That if you go, how about this? You go find that spot. You're drifting off one of your spots. You found a spot that I put out, chicken coops or pyramid, whatever. You mark MOB.
Right.
Then somebody comes and somehow steals it from you. Say they stole it from me.
Yeah.
You never owned the spot. You didn't put it out. They didn't steal it from you.
Yeah.
Don't you have to own something to have it stolen from
still
you?
Well, they stole it from me if he stole my SD card that had it on there.
Well,
if somebody physically
took your bottom machine. Now that's a different story.
Yeah,
because they stole your bottom machine. That's
but if they
the
went
charge.
Back out there and if they went fishing and found it,
well, what if they saw you on it and got it? And you didn't get off it fast enough. Yeah. Could you charge them with stealing it?
No,
because you never owned it.
That's right. Even if it was my spot that I put out there and they went and found it, there's nothing to do about it.
No, but it's easier to make the argument when it's one on one. I'm talking about put a third party in it.
Right.
You've got the spot. You dropped the wreck. Okay. Somebody else finds it, and then somebody else gets that number from them. You can't argue that they had it stolen from them because they never owned it in the first place.
Yeah.
They never even put it out. So there was just like a – okay. Anybody following me on this?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm following you. And on that case, it was tried in Florida, but they never really went all the way through the case, though, did they?
No.
So they threw it out for it to come to Alabama, well, right?
Right. Well, they – yes.
So, and so then that's not really double jeopardy.
No, it is double jeopardy because he'd been – no, they had gone –
yeah, he got acquitted of the first one or whatever.
Yeah. And now they're trying to come back in another venue, but you can't – that's a thing of our Constitution. You can't – government can't keep trying you for the same thing. You know, the colonists had enough of that with the English that they put that in the language and said, you can't keep just going, oh, we're going to charge you again and try you for it. So that – I mean, this is kind of different because what's going to go to the Supreme Court is a question, I think, about double jeopardy. But it does bring up, I don't know, to me like a secondary, this is not what the case is about. But it is interesting to me to argue if you go get something that out there, you take that information. Can you have it stolen from you? Because it wasn't yours in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, I see your argument. So, and Kurt was talking about, he knows Smith. What's his name?
Yeah, Tim. Yeah,
Tim Smith.
Yep.
And Kirk used to tell us about, he was trying to help Strikeline start with, right?
Basically, I think he was just showing them that. If you go on their page or on their website or something, basically just tell them, hey, anybody can get these things the way y'all have it laid out. And anyway, I don't know exactly what happened, but at the end of the day, I think he was just basically saying how easy, told them, hey,
yeah,
you need to change this up or do something about it because anybody could go on here and get this stuff. And they probably did after the fact. And,
right.
You know, so.
It's just, and there's like one, and we'll watch this and we'll follow this case, but because if it goes to Supreme Court, I mean, wow, Supreme Court hearing a case about wrecks in the Gulf of Mexico is interesting. But I don't know. The other question I want answered is, can you steal something from somebody that didn't ever own it in the first place? That's my, okay, there's my thing. So let's.
Yeah, I don't know.
So let's talk fishing because it's all part of it. Obviously, you're going to keep dropping wrecks like you've done forever. I do worry with the new information on Snapper. We're going to go right back to the thing, and I'm pointing at myself. I'm guilty during the short seasons and all that for years. None of us were dumping anything in my group. I mean, we just said to heck with it when the season was so short. We were starting to change things, and people were sinking wrecks and doing all this stuff again to get us back. And now we've got 2023, we're looking at it cut in half, down to 500,000 tons or something on Snapper. I mean, Kurt, what do you think happens there?
Well,
the old 25-foot boat guy like me. You know what I'm talking about?
This year, a lot less people fish. Unfortunately,
yeah, we didn't even fish our quota.
And then I think when they kept this season open year-round, I don't know what happened, but this past year, the fishing was tougher, like, night and day difference in 1 year. And the only thing that I know of that changed is they kept that season, the recreational season, open for the whole year. You know what I'm saying?
But we opened Memorial Day, yeah. And then
the tail end of the year. And nobody hardly fishes. I get that. I mean, you can go to the boat launch. I mean, there's hardly anybody fishing. I went on a few trips myself just to put some fresh fish in the freezer or bring some to somebody. And I mean, it's nice to be out there and, you know, just go catch some snapper because mm-hmm. they're everywhere. They still are. And if you go out in the deeper water, there's still plenty of fish. But what's happened in the past, I mean, basically for several years, because the fishing's been so good, you hardly ever seen a boat out over past 30 miles because everybody could catch everything they wanted.
Right.
Inside the box.
Yep.
And now, like this past year, this whole summer, I mean, we're running 40, 45 miles just to go catch a limit of decent fish and try to get back in, you know, to go run another trip.
So it was happening to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even though you had all the spots that you've got and everything in this 20-mile, 25, 30-mile, you were having to go 40 miles.
Oh, yeah, I had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that listen, the biologist on this, they said that deeper water is what will fix the shallow water. In other words, those deeper water that doesn't get the pressure. There's not very many Kurt Tillmans and Mike Wards, right? So I'm the guy that y'all are talking about. I'm the 40 miles in. That's me. I'm really 30 miles an end. That as those reefs get, you know, get worked over pretty good, those bigger snapper in the deeper water reproduce, and that's what's restocking the reefs. You know, and that you had the ideas of having that everybody at 9 miles is going to catch a 25-pound snapper. That's probably going to be thing of the past. But still, they're managing in the state for opportunity versus size. I mean, it's like deer hunting, right? If we're, they're not managing for trophies, they're managing for everybody to shoot a 4-point right. or 6-point. So,
and you got to look at it. I mean, the quality of fish we have was fantastic, and it's still we've got some of the best fishing anywhere in the world. I've been all over the place. We've got hands down some of the best fishing in the world, and you know, basically the conservation and all that, they've done a super good job, and they continue to put out reefs. They got a whole bunch of reefs mm-hmm. that just went out, opened up some new zones. Chris done a real good job, you know, doing his job, and you know, I think they just need to keep up their game. I think, you know, whatever they come up with, I think it'll be reasonable to a point where, you know, we'll still be able to catch some fish in a, you know, and within that.
Well, I mean, with cutting the tonnage in half, okay, right. So there's something is going to have to change, right? So we're not going to have the number of days, right? Of course, it's going to vary with weather and all those situations out there. I don't know that they'd mess with the limit, you know. I mean, because you could play this game a couple of different ways. If they drop the limit to one snapper, then you could double the length of the season, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, who wants to
who
by the time you
burn that?
Right. Or if you made it 4 fish, you could cut the season length in half. I mean, you know, that's how they could play that game. I don't know. But this is a pretty big hit when we've been told by the Great American Red Snapper Count that there were so many more than – although we all knew that, to have the science finally tell the feds, hey, y'all, you're not looking in the right places, all these things, and have the feds go, yeah, we're not going to listen to that. Y'all are going to lose half
that's
your...
the problem with talking to the federal government. They don't listen to you. I've been down there and talked on these places.
Who are you looking at?
I mean, they just sitting there with their head down. They ain't paying no attention to what we say. And they just have to have these meetings, have to have people show up and argue about it, and then they're going to go do whatever they're going to do. I don't even think they make a note on what anybody says in any of these meetings. I've never seen them.
I mean, there's records, but yeah.
Well, it's definitely been mismanaged to the point that we had piles and piles of fish and not enough days. And then this is the first year I've actually seen it on a decrease. And it's not that there's not fish out there. It's just not the quality of fish I think that we want to catch, per se,
Do you think that it fixes itself? In other words, when the fishing gets tougher, right, when it's not so easy, I wonder if people go do something else, like fish for something else, or you know what I'm saying? Like, as it gets tougher for that, like it was, yeah, it was real easy. 30 miles an end, boom, 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 you put, you know, 6 people in the boat for the regular weekend guy like me, and everybody gets their snapper, everybody gets their picture taken. As that gets tougher, maybe we do something else. Maybe we don't, you know, maybe we go troll. Maybe we go fish for something else. Does it self-correct? We go to the break and come back more with our conversation with Captain Kurt Tillman, Captain Kurt Charters, right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Here I thought I was going to get to talk about tuna with Captain Kurt. I've run it off in the dang red snapper ditch. Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, Captain Kurt Charters, Kurt Tillman, our guest as well. And during the break, yeah, having the two of y'all in here is a really good benchmark because y'all got great spots. Great snapper spots. But, you know, right. And so, Kurt, you were saying, and then I was like, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what happened with Mike. It's not like they kind of started fading over time. They were fantastic, and then they were zero.
Yeah, like last year, like basically this time, November, December, year before last, I went to some of these spots with some different people, and two Conks guys come down. We done a little show, and man, I mean, we were catching 15 plus pound fish on top of the water just every time you throw a line back. And the funniest thing, the guys from down there in Florida, fishing's tougher down there. I mean, they got a lot of people and a little bitty area to fish, and
they have to finesse fish down there more.
And they have, you know, you go down there mutton snapper fishing, you got 30 pound test leader, and it's 25 foot long. And I told them, I said, hey guys, they brought their own poles. I said, man, y'all might as well take that stuff off. I said, y'all gonna have to put some 80 on it or 100 leader. And they're like, and the whole time we was catching all these fish, they kept saying, 80-pound test.
That's what I say. They're used to finesse fishing, light lines, small hooks, small baits, you know.
But the fishing was so good at this particular spot. And then I'm thinking, well, next year, you know, this like one of the go-to spots. It's always big fish there. And that's one of the reasons I took the guys there. It's like 26 miles out, nice, close in pretty much for what I do. And season open, man, and we're bumping around spots, and, you know, it's okay. So I run over this spot. Man, we caught a few good fish there a couple times. And I'm not talking about, like, everything. It's just a few, and then it was over with. That spot was done. All those fish that were there, I don't know what happened to them, and at several other spots the same way. Before the end of the year last year, they were good, and this coming year they weren't. And
and you said the same.
The exact same thing happened to me, Kirk. I had several really good spots, and Sean's been out there with me, where, you know, 12 to 20 pound snapper every time you drop down, and they'd follow you, you know, for a couple hundred yards. They'd follow you, and then you'd run back up there, and there'd be plenty of them still on the spot, and then you'd just drift off of it 100, 200 yards, and they'd just follow you, just wear them out. Right. And then I went this year. I mean, there's not – one. I didn't catch one fish off of several of those spots out there.
Not before. Just saying undersized, just not catching a fish.
No, now let me say this. We did catch maybe six or eight when we went to Beeliner Outfits, you know, trying to catch, you know, see what was down there. We did catch a couple pounders or two pounders or whatever. But the big ones that you would see on your screen, you know, you can mark the big fish. Yeah. You see the big fish on your screen, and they're, you know, 25, 30 foot below the water.
Yeah, they just weren't there.
They weren't there. They're
gone.
I
don't know what happened to them.
Yeah. And, you know, it gets back to what we talked about in the break a little bit, too. You know, Mark Kennedy keeps up with this stuff really well, and you know, he says he thinks it's the water quality. The water quality inshore out till you get about 35, 40 miles offshore – is terrible around island. Now, that's what he says.
Okay, and water quality meaning what? I'm not disagreeing, but like, you know, Dr. Powers, Sean Powers comes on here a bunch. They do all the dissolved oxygen test, and they can tell when it – I mean, remember we talked about the when they bite and don't bite show we did with him, and they'll put the camera down?
Right.
And I because it was like a moment for me. I'm like, red snapper always bite. He said, no, they don't, Sean. And they got video where they put it down, they got the camera down, and they're dropping, and they're not biting. He said, one of the things they see that when the dissolved oxygen is low, you get less response. It's why we always said, you know, after a tropical storm comes through, you're like, man, fishing's great. It blew a bunch of fish in, maybe, or maybe it made the water more oxygenated. But they're monitoring. I don't know what other parts. Mark might be talking about something other.
Yeah,
but they are doing the research on – and we do have low dissolved oxygen in some places, and it changes and comes back and forth. But
Steve with the Auburn boat is at my dock, and he said the same thing basically. And he's got a book out, and he's been studying red snapper for, you know, decades. And that's what they do. And he said basically the same thing. You know, you get the low oxygen, fish don't bite. They're, you know – but at the end of the day, most of the time, like Mike said, you pull up to this spot, and the fish, you can just see them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But these fish are just, maybe they moved out.
That's what I'm saying. They're not there.
Any oxygen, you know? I don't
Could
really
be.
Know.
I don't know that. So. Yeah.
But they're gone.
They do not mark on the machine.
Right.
But anybody that fishes and snapper fishes a lot, they'll tell you that this year was an off year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next year, hopefully it'll be a 180 on it or something like that. The commercial guys that have been fishing even will tell you the same thing. It's been tough. But the last couple of weeks, talking to different ones that's been fishing, they said the bite's on fire right now, and they've been catching a lot of snapper up
that's
the hill.
Yeah, it's because it's cold and it's deer season.
That's right, exactly. In close and shallower water.
Yep.
Yeah.
They said they've been doing good. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Because so we're going to transition from that because I can't have you sitting right here and not talk tuna fishing with you. Right. And y'all, Captain Kirk Charters go, I mean, you're on Facebook, Instagram. You on TikTok?
No, not TikTok.
I have to ask everybody.
I'm on TikTok. You're not on TikTok?
No, Mike, because I'm not trying to give all my info to the Chinese.
They're
gonna,
okay.
Chinese are going to be coming for you. But obviously, you've been, man, some fantastic trips. Talk about the tuna fishing.
Man, the tuna fishing has been excellent. It's more tuna out there than I've seen in several years. Long time ago, 5 or 6 years ago, you could go anytime and catch a few yellowfin somewhere. I mean, I always caught some. Then we went probably through a 3 or 4 year slope where, I mean, it just wasn't good. There wasn't a lot of fish out there. But right now, I mean, basically every trip we've been catching some yellowfin, plenty of blackfin out there, and some really – and hit or miss. One trip we didn't have – we didn't catch any big ones. We really didn't even see any. It was a full moon. I think it had to bite off. But the smaller yellowfin were on fire. I mean, we were catching them 4 at a time.
And bad.
I mean, we threw back 15 or so. I mean, we had a bunch of, you know, plenty enough fish where we was just catching. We every spot that I went to, we caught some yellowfin. Every single spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's good to know you're catching smaller ones too, because I remember from some marine biologists talking about the fact when we were catching some big ones in the Gulf, they said that's good, but we're worried that there's an age class that's not there or whatever. But it sounds like from looking at what you're doing and other people, that the next, you know, the youngins are there.
Right. I think, I mean, I wish they would just either move up the size limit or just cut it back to 2 or something, because, you know, the 27-inch keeper fish is just, I mean, it almost makes you feel, you know, a blackfin and a yellowfin, to me, some people argue with you, but fresh, I don't know that you can taste the difference in them hardly.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think you can. But I just, I wish they'd, you know, either make it
bigger.
A bigger fish, and then either make it a bigger fish and cut it down from 3 a person to like 2 or something. Just because, I mean, most of the time you catch a couple big fish, I mean, that's all anybody can stand to eat anyway.
That's right.
Or catch. As I get older, after one, I'm like, good.
Yeah,
who's next?
Right.
I'm not me.
So but, what do you like to eat? Do you like to eat the smaller ones better or the 100-pounders, or can you tell a difference?
You can tell a difference. It's like baby carrots.
Now, well, it's that way in most everything. I mean, whether it's a bass or a speckled trout or snapper or whatever. But I didn't know whether you could
Mike
really
only
take,
shoots
take
yearlings.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But you do like the smaller ones better.
No, I'm just joking. I think the tuna, I don't think that it much matters. But if you go fishing on the horseshoes, the offshore fish are way better than those fish you catch on the shoes, because the tuna that you catch on the horseshoes, it's real oily because they're eating pogies.
Yes.
And you can put it in a Ziploc bag, and you can literally see all the fat and stuff, all the oil that's coming out of that meat, because they gorge themselves with these pogies.
That's right.
And the meat, it's just not as good. But if you catch them offshore.
I've never even thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hands down.
You are what you eat, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're just gorged with these pogies. But if you catch them way offshore, man, for about the first 3 days, you think it's the best thing you ever ate. And after that, you're like so full of tuna. And I'll tell you something about a tuna. I've got some, you know, different people that come fishing with me from different places. In Alaska, they pack out all this meat because everybody flies out of there. And they put it in a 50-pound box that's supposed to hold 50 pound of vacuum-sealed fillets. And it's right on the money, you know, just a styrofoam box. So a guy from Alaska that comes fishing with me, he came down. He brought us some halibut and all this rockfish from Alaska. And so he comes down, and when we go tuna fishing, man, have a phenomenal trip, catch a whole pile of tuna, and that's all he wants to bring back is tuna. So he packs the same box. We vacuum seal the stuff, pack him out, and guess what that box weighed?
75 pounds?
80-something pounds.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's just that much denser.
It's that much denser.
Yeah. You know, I've seen that. Mike and I were talking about that. We came back from a trip, and we caught snapper. I was out with Dr. Powers and them, and then we had some snowy grouper next to it, and you grabbed two bags. Now, it wasn't as specific as what you're talking about, but grab two of the whatever Ziploc bags, and you pick one up, and you absolutely knew which one was a grouper and which one was a snapper by the weight of that bag, even though it was almost the same amount of meat in there.
Right. So the snapper was heavier?
No. The grouper was more dense.
Absolutely heavier.
We're coming right back. Yeah. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on this Christmas weekend. Glad to have you here. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Hope you're having a great Christmas. Getting ready for tomorrow. Santa's going to bring you what?
I don't know. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
What's it bringing you?
Coal. Coal and switches.
A big bucket over there.
Yeah,
huh?
Big bucket of coal and switches for sure. By the way, joining us on this week's show, Captain Kurt Tillman Charters. Let's talk about this too before we tuna fishing on fire right now. Is there any chance of getting booked? Are you booked out?
No, you can come. We usually start booking March. March is starting to fill in just because that's when you catch the biggest ones at the lump. But, yeah, I still got plenty of dates, and I got a couple more boats now, and we got opening spots. And
I see you mix it up, too. So if somebody says they're going to go, like, you catch tuna, but then I see some grouper and some other things in the mix.
Yeah, and that's usually if we a lot of times you see that it's just two boats trips, but every once in a while we'll go do like an extended trip or something like that. But it's kind of hard to do, and most of the time it's just either straight up one or the other. But I have done –
Are you still – but if somebody wants to say they for some reason didn't want to tuna fish, they wanted to go do something else, you're still booking those kind of trips?
Yep.
How do they find you?
They can just find me on Instagram or Facebook, Captain Kurt Charters, or give me a call at 251-288-1003. And we're just here to have a good time, that's all. Catch some fish.
You folks should go look at the pictures. And he's sandbagging right now. Just catch some fish.
I saw on Facebook, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday, where Pumpkin Sims, Dave Sims, was catching a bunch of mullet. He had a net full. He commercial fishes. You know him well. I know him well. Everybody knows him. And had tons of mullet. They were jumping everywhere, and his nets were full of mullet. So I guess the mullet haven't all gone out offshore yet, right?
No, they're catching roe mullet right now. That's what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know. I guess when this good cold front comes through, a lot of
it pushes them all out the river, and they just wait where they can actually legally catch them because they can't set nets in the river. They just catch them as soon as they come out, like Portersville Bay, or they come out in the bay on the other end.
Yeah.
And out of Deer River and stuff like that. But, yeah, I've seen several boats just loaded down with a bunch of mullet.
Well, what I was talking about, too, was, to make that work out, is they all, a lot of them go offshore. Like to the lumps and all, right?
Right.
So
can you imagine just for a second being a mullet, being a mullet and being out offshore off the lumps? I mean,
or a pogie?
I mean, yeah, but pogie, yes, pogies for sure. But I'm just thinking mullet as they're on the surface swimming like that, going, my God, your days are numbered here. Yeah. Your hours are numbered. I mean, you're about to get crushed.
Yeah, poor mullet. So when you're tuna fishing out at the lumps, when is the best time when the mullet are out there and the menhaden are out there? What months would you say is the best there?
Man, last year we went in the end of January, and we just had a blast. I got a tower on my boat. It's like a race car. We just running around with pokey balls, and you can look at some of that stuff. If you hadn't looked at it, like on Instagram, go back to January of last year and just look at the – a lot of people don't ever see this, but there's bait balls, just thousands of pogies on top of the water, and they're all schooled up, and all these fish are eating them. And you can see these big 200-pound yellowfin just busting through them, you know, and you're throwing poppers at them. And when you catch one on a spinning reel and you get one in, it is – everybody on the boat gets a turn usually at reeling this fish in, because it's straight up stand up gear. It's no put it in a rod holder.
Not with a spinning reel.
Yeah, no. That spinning reel will wear you out. And just seeing that fish, Justin Fidala
hitting the top water
out there with me, and I'm up on the boat and I'm like, y'all video this. And he throws that popper out there, and bam, man, this big tuna hits him. I'm like, yeah, you got him. And man, it's just fun.
And then an hour later, you're getting
yeah. I mean, we fought one for 2.5 hours. The first one, we just got there, throw the poppers out, fight it for 2.5 hours, boom, pulls the hook.
Oh, gosh.
Man, everybody's just like looking at each other. It's like, hey, man, ain't nothing to do but try to catch another one. And we did. We caught a couple more. And, you know, it's just like that. And when something bad happens, everybody says, hey, Kurt, man, you're never in a bad mood or nothing ever lets you down. Hey, man, it ain't about, like, just feeling all bad about that one you lost. You just got to throw it back out there again, yeah, you know.
Do it all over.
Yeah.
Get back up on the horse.
That's yeah, right. We lost two big fish the last time I went tuna fishing. Man, right off the bat. And one of them – these cold water fish are completely different. So we're out there, we get this fish hooked up, and man, we're fighting him, and this fish is just doing all kind of crazy stuff. And after about 30 minutes, this fish comes out, always starts running back to the boat, and the guy's like, I don't know if he's on here. I was like, yeah. And he's reeling, and he is on there. And this fish turns back around, jumps out of the water like 15 foot in front of the boat, a yellowfin tuna jumps out of the water and takes off, peeling off the line again. And then he comes back to the boat again, runs way off to the starboard side, and gets out there shaking his head on top of the water. I mean, you could see his Allison fin, his sickle fins out of the water out there shaking, and it chased out the line. And we're like, holy moly, man. You know, and then we got another one on. And, man, I don't know what happened. We lost it, too. So then we go around. We end up catching two really nice fish and, like, five or six smaller ones, but we had a great trip at the end of it all. But you know, you just never know. And that tuna fishing, if you hadn't ever been out there and experienced it and all that stuff, it's a great trip to go on. And you don't catch them every single time. I mean, we've been getting them every time, but you know, it is fun. And the lump fishing's fun because you get to see all these boats. You basically run out to a spot in the middle of nowhere, it seems like, and you got, you know, 40, 50 boats out there in one spot.
But somebody's got to figure out how to catch them more than the others. All right, once again, y'all, you're going to have to come back and talk with us more as we get closer.
Lots to talk about.
To that. Captain Kurt from Captain Kurt Charters, Kurt Tillman, our guest right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Y'all have a great Christmas. We'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas.
I'll be here, Sean.
I'll be
even after Christmas.
My colon
even
switches.
Even if I don't get anything for Christmas, I'll still be
I'll give you some colon switches. It'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
All right.